Today on Know How,
it's VR day. It's time to pick out some serious VR kits.
It's his favorite thing.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Know How is brought to you by Avnet. Not Impossible Labs and Avnet created an historic event at the Life is Beautiful Music Festival, a first-of-its-kind live concert that helped the deaf and hearing communities experience music in a whole new way. Visit avnet.com/music2 to see the journey. And by DigitalOcean, the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications. Over 150,000 businesses rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit.
Welcome to Know How. See what I did there? Know How VR is today's episode. And I know, well, first of all, I'm Jason Howe. Who are you?
Sam Moscovich from Ars Technica, hanging out at twit.tv because they said I'd get to play with headsets.
Because I was going to say, I know that I think VR is kind of cool. You kind of like love VR, right? You're obsessed with it. You want to marry VR?
I'm taking a break from virtual reality to be here with you in real reality for a minute to talk about virtual reality.
I'm so sorry to pull you out of the metaverse that I love living in. Yeah. So what is it that you love so much about VR? Why are you really into VR? Now is obviously a really great time to be in.
VR has been about to happen pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
I remember arcades in the 90s were pushing these giant, drawn-out, crane-like things that hung over and had giant cables attached to whatever thing was in your face that was really blurry and terrible, but you were a robot. Right. And that was right next to the, I want to say, Battletech. I can't remember the exact name, but my mall had one of these cockpits you could sit in and pretend to be a robot and all this stuff. There was also the Virtual Boy, which came out in the late 90s, which bombed.
That probably blew you away, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it didn't burn my eyes out with its red screen, you had to bend over and do this whole, like, lean your head into the thing.
It had a stand.
Because they didn't want you to move around with it. They were so afraid of kids breaking things that they instead made it a pain to use. And that was a while ago, and people have been just wondering when the tech would catch up. And the Oculus team was really the first to push forward in a loud public consumer way and say, hey, Kickstarter plus smartphone parts equals we could maybe make this happen. So we fast forward a few years. VR is not, oh my God, it's the most perfect thing and it's working incredibly and everything's hunky-dory, but it's good. You can put on a headset, you can grab a controller, you can be transported putting one of these things on, so long as you're transported to a world in which cables are dangling off of your head and sort of things like that. But when you're there, it's crisp, it moves smoothly. You need a modern computer. Doesn't have to be the best ever, but a good computer or even a good video game console will get you into something that really is transportive without making you feel sick and does unlock some really cool gameplay possibilities.
You're talking about cables, and I feel like that was kind of my nightmare as we were setting up this table, this collection of VR goggles that we have out here.
Tidily bundled for another 20 seconds.
Yes, exactly. Things are looking orderly for a moment, but it really does, it is very indicative of kind of the current, kind of the challenge of the current crop of VR. And I think things are fixing to change pretty significantly in the near term, but right now you are really locked into this kind of cabled environment. This huge, long, dangling cable, and in some cases, two of them, stretching down from your visor. As you know, with some of these systems, you're actually moving in a space. You got to be kind of careful.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about what the cabling situation is, where there aren't cables, what sort of trade-offs you get in that sort of way, kind of how you can move forward with VR depending on what kind of experience you want, what kind of annoyance you want to put up with, and where you really go there. I want to talk to the uninitiated. There are still people who haven't put one of these on to understand what's really happening. The short of it is something in a headset, as you put it on, is recognizing the relative space you're in. Now, that's often because of smartphone parts and because of external sensors. So maybe it's a webcam looking at you. Maybe it's the headset looking for lasers that, like, interrupt it and give it a sense. But it's constantly, constantly on a microsecond basis saying, I am at this X, Y, and Z coordinate. And the computer says, oh, well, in that case, you should see this. Mm-hmm. Like, in real life, my brain knows I'm looking at you and going over here. Well, in virtual reality, say, well, there's the dinosaur. Now the screen is going to show, you know, the giant mountain. Now the dinosaur again. Just understanding where you are in that space and barfing up these images that are so convincing because they're very quick and they're responsive to just absolute and relative movement. So that's this really cool trick. It enables a lot of stuff in gaming and it enables things outside of the gaming space. Some of my favorite apps include Tilt Brush, which came out originally on the HTC Vive back in, I want to say, 2016? I lose track of time. Yeah. VR is a whole different world.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
And that's where you can essentially, you paint and sculpt in three dimensions, meaning you put a blob of paint right there, that blob stays there no matter where you are looking around.
That is so
and
cool.
The app is advanced enough to now you can take the things you make in virtual space and get a file that you can then send and look at on a screen. This right here on the screen that we're looking at now is someone else's painting that they're sort of camera weaving to take a look at. Yeah. But you could download the file for this art and then manipulate it on your computer, load it into AutoCAD and that sort of stuff. It's a real trip.
Wow.
So the use case is interesting in that what can you do with three dimensions? Like, what would a computer mouse be like if you had it in three dimensions?
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, there's also just a bunch of gun games. Because all these things look kind of like guns and have triggers. So, but it's a very convincing effect, and the 3D sound effect, most of these have headphones built in, and that's really nice. So, you know, but at that point, where do you go from there?
Yeah. Well, and so we've got kind of the collection here. Obviously, this is the PSVR, the PlayStation VR, and the controller. I can't remember what they call this specifically.
That's PlayStation Move Wand.
Move Wand.
Which
there
is actually came out with the PlayStation 3, and they brought it back for this with the PlayStation 4.
They were
4.
Like, wait a minute. That actually would come in really handy for VR.
Right.
Here we have the Oculus Rift, of course, and the PlayStation Touch, which I really like the controller, the PlayStation Touch.
Oculus Touch.
Or sorry.
I would be an interesting cross-branding.
Hey, there we go. The Oculus Touch, though. I remember when I first played with this, like the finger tracking and everything is just really neat.
Because it does have a little bit of sensing there for all fingers, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got over here the HTC Vive. This is the Vive Pro, correct? So the HTC Vive Pro.
The HTC Vive Pro is interesting. It has currently the same exact wand controller as the original Vive, but the display is about 78% more pixels. So with 78% more pixels, you need a little bit of a better computer sometimes to get that image going. But boy, is the effect amazing when your computer is fast enough. And recently, we've got the RTX 2080 Ti, which is a $1,200 graphics card.
Right.
But it'll play really nicely with that Vive Pro.
Very nice. And then finally, this is the Lenovo, Lenovo, I want to get the model quite right. Well, Windows Mixed Reality headset. And this actually has a true inside-out tracking, right? Like, you don't need a camera set up in your room. So there's a lot going on inside of the headsets in Windows Mixed Reality.
Well, let's talk about the sensing, how they start. And we're going to go into building a room later. But the basics of it is that different sets work with different sort of standing and sitting. Which one of these do you want to start with first to sort of break down how that kind of works?
Maybe let's start off with the PlayStation VR because I think that's kind of like low barrier to entry, would you say, of the four of these?
I would say so. For the four of these, because we're in the high-end VR space, and we're going to talk about some lower-end stuff later. But PlayStation VR requires a PlayStation 4 console, either the normal one or the Pro. So that'll run you $250 to $400 for a console. Then you're buying this kit, which includes sometimes one of these wands, sometimes the PlayStation Eye camera. And the idea is this is a design mostly for a sit-down experience, although you can stand. But it's a camera that's looking directly at you. And that means sitting down or standing is more ideal than actually getting up and walking around. There's certain controllers, including not only just this wand here, but there's also the PlayStation Aim controller, which is a gun-shaped, it's like a shotgun shape. It has this sort of barrel action so that you've got actually joysticks on each of the thumbs so that you can manage moving and inventory and things like that while you're in a virtual world. It also works with just the plain old DualShock controller. There's an incredible game in which in VR you see your hands trapped in a box. So as you hold the controller, the effect with the headset on is as if your hands are actually trapped in the box, even though you're just holding a controller. It's a real trip. So all you need is that game system and that camera and this headset, and you sit down. You can stand up in a pinch, but sitting down is pretty ideal for PlayStation VR.
Right.
But there's already a wide array of games. We've got Elder Scrolls from Bethesda. They have Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim in VR on PlayStation VR. Doom has a VR version. I believe that's also on PlayStation VR.
The Fallout. Fallout VR,
Fallout,
is
that's,
that on?
That's on a different, that's on PC.
Oh, okay.
But Gran Turismo has a VR version. There's a game called Moss that's really cute. There's a lot of software, not all of the games, but a lot of the cute ones. Rick and Morty has a VR game that's on PlayStation VR. So there's a pretty solid selection, and Sony's been pumping stuff out. They've got a game called Firewall Zero Hour. I want to say that's the right name, that just came out as we're talking about this, which is 4-on-4 tactical combat. You have a, it has a default microphone in the earplugs that come with it. So you'll chat with your teammates. It's exclusive to PSVR, and it's got this really awesome feel to it, and there are people playing it. It's not a ghost town, so that's a really cool experience.
Right on. Okay, so, and I know, by the way, I played, what was it, Arkham, Batman Arkham?
Batman Arkham VR, yeah.
Arkham VR, and there's a moment in there where you step in front of a mirror, and you see, you know, yourself as Batman looking back at you. And even though, like, the resolution, I felt like the resolution is a little lower on the PlayStation VR, and maybe the field of view isn't quite so great, but there was something about that moment in that game, looking in the mirror, that at that moment I had, like, this transformative experience of suddenly not feeling like I was me and feeling like I was Batman.
Did you then whisper, really, did you whisper, I'm Batman.
Of course, because that's what you do. But anyways, it was really cool. Nice. And so for, you know, sure, it has its faults. I think the low resolution is the thing that I would complain the most about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, and you don't still
get
transformative.
A, you don't get a higher resolution by plugging it into a different system. You may get a little bit of extra boost when you're on PS4 Pro, but you're still ultimately dealing with the limitations.
Yeah.
So having PS4 Pro will add some super sampling where, like, the source files are a little bit sharper, but it's still going through some of this blur. So out of all of these, this may be the blurriest one, but it's also tends to be the most reasonably priced one, often is bundled with other games.
Right, yeah, it was definitely seeing.
And it's comfortable. These all come on, and we may put these on later, but this one slides on and off. I could just put it on right now.
Yeah, go ahead and put it on right now.
So the way, and we'll see how terribly this goes, because I haven't actually done this yet, but the idea is that it just... There, I'm in, I'm on. I'm able to grab this button down here, slide it in and out. That makes a lot of room for glasses at the furthest distance.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a click dial here that I can tighten, or I can just press it to let go, and boom, out.
Very nice.
There we go.
Very nice. All right, PSVR. Okay. What is the next step here? Would it be the Oculus?
I say we talk Oculus.
Oculus Rift, all right.
Oculus Lift. Let's just start with me putting that on, since we're on the putting on phase. This one, you just put on like a baseball cap is what they say.
It's and how you've got all so different.
That this one has a little bit of strap attachment, but to tighten it up. But you know, there I am. It has earbuds already in there, so or just attached. This
that
by
you
default.
Can kind of flip out when you don't need them.
You're like, hey, what, real life?
right.
And you can kind of, it's got this little patch that you can see under your nose. This does as well. But if you need to like look down and go, oh, there's like, if you want to look at your phone, you can totally do that. Hold on while I de-strap and get out.
All right.
But Oculus has a different sensing protocol. It takes webcams, but multiple webcams. It'll do as few as one if you just want to sit down and play, or as many as three if you want to stand up and move around a room. And you're going to need at least two of the cameras if you're going to use the Oculus Touch controller. There's two of them normally. You only have one, but they each have their own joystick, their own couple of buttons, and two different triggers. And as we were hinting at earlier, it also can sense whether your finger is touching or out. So you can do a pointing gesture. You can do, you can get your fingers closed and do a fist bump. It'll recognize these little, this finger, and this finger. It'll,
and that really helps on immersion, I have to say. It sounds like a little thing, but, man, I think the game is called I Expect You to Die. And there's a point in there where you have to, you know, push a button, like something as simple as like pushing a button on a wall in order to open the door. And just going out there and pushing and pulling the trigger is one thing, but actually in that game, you have to go out there, put your finger out, and then push forward. And I mean, it just, you know, all those little touches, when you're talking about virtual reality, really pull you into that experience. And the end game, the goal, I imagine, for everyone that makes these experiences is to make you forget about reality and make and trick your brain into thinking that this is reality. That's why they call it virtual reality. Yeah. And little touches like that really help.
Now, Oculus Touch came later. That was an add-on that came later. And I think the best things about Oculus Touch came because it had more time to cook in the oven. So those sort of finger gestures are unique to that. You don't get get that with right. any of these other platforms. So I think that's a really nice move they did on their part. Yeah, that sort of fractured the opening audience, but people could just buy it as an add-on, and they did because there were games that came out for it. Then we move on to the HTC Vive. This is very the Vive Pro and the Vive are both very similar. This has a better fit all in all because it's got this crazy headset thing. Now, normally with the original Vive, it's just kind of frozen as a flat thing. It's a real pain to put on.
Yeah.
But this one, you can actually flip up like this, stick it to your face like so, then pull the back down.
Oh, okay.
And that actually went pretty smoothly. This is not as smooth when you're on the normal Vive. It can be a way bigger pain in the butt, but this has an easy click in for in and out. It also has its own earbuds that are attached, and there you are. Now, this comes with a simpler controller, but this was the first to have a controller that would be sensed in space, meaning you move your hand around and your hand would appear in the game in the same spot. And Oculus Touch sort of came later to that. So the limitations as a result, you don't have this sort of comfortable
articulation.
This sort of fits like a glove, as you see right here. My hand is just in. I can tie this guy on in a pinch. I'm not going to do that. But this I have to always actively hold.
Yep.
And that just adds this extra little bit. And these little...
Not to mention it's twice the size. That thing's gigantic compared to this.
Right. And instead of getting a joystick, you get this sort of touchpad, which depending on the app can be a cool way to interact with things. But often it's not very natural.
Yeah.
Whereas this at least... Because this, if you want to pretend to be running forward, this feels like, oh, I'm running forward. I'm letting go. But you don't get that sort of natural... release point. You also have these bumper buttons that are on the side. In action, they're a real pain to actually click down. But the trigger is fine. If you want to pretend it's a gun, then that gun feeling is totally there. But it's bulky. This whole thing right here, this whole giant array is designed to be sensed whatever part of a room you're standing in. Because the Vive promise has always been that you can walk around a giant room. And I think one of the payoffs, or the drawbacks, pardon me, from the early days was that it was this giant bulky thing. At the time, this seemed, oh my God, that's revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Now it just looks like a real big donut-y thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. It really does. But I mean, the Vive was ahead of its time. Talk a little bit about kind of what you have on the front of the Vive here. Like if you look at the front of the Oculus Rift, you're not getting any of these sensors, but you do on the Vive.
The original Vive shipped with one front-facing webcam. And for the Vive Pro, they decided to double that with two front-facing webcams. And the reason you don't see that on other headsets is because nobody's really used this in any apps yet. You're not getting people really integrating this webcam view. Even, I mean, I've been using the Vive 2.5 years now, and I haven't played with one experience where I flipped on that webcam and saw my real life appear in a way that was useful. When you're in the Vive, you're actually just before you really strap in, you're doing a setup process where you tell the system, hey, this is how big my room is. This is where my TV is. This is where my cat might be.
Right.
And then the system, when you're in VR, will say, don't go that far. They will put up little virtual walls to tell you
cat.
How far to go. I mean, it doesn't actually see your cat. That's the catch.
That's too bad.
Apologies, cat owners.
All right. So, and then finally, we have this, which is just one example. This is the Lenovo Windows Mixed Reality headset. And I played around. I can't remember if it was the Lenovo headset, but they're all relatively different. I mean, that's the thing. This is Windows world. So you've got a bunch of different manufacturers making their own style of headsets. So there's a lot of options here. But here again, you do have the cameras.
But those cameras are different because you had talked about it. This one has its own, it tracks itself. That when wherever you are, it will know what is near you without requiring that you do a setup. You don't need to set up a webcam. You don't have to set up any sensors around the room. That just sees what's near you, and it also recognizes the controller. Now, this controller is very similar to the Oculus Touch, but it doesn't have all the finger sensing.
Like
but the cool thing it has is this little light array. So when it's powered on, Jason right here, when he has the set in, those cameras are looking for these dots.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it knows where your hand is, so you don't have to get a webcam out or anything like that. And that's probably, you look like you're from the future, which is fun. You look like you're in Tron. It has, you'll see on the side of his head, on his right side, there's this little dongle right here where you can plug in your own headphones.
Oh, right.
Some of the Windows headsets come with those, some don't. What's nice is that these Windows Mixed Reality headsets work pretty much smoothly with anything in Steam VR and even with some Oculus games. But it's not really adding anything to the formula as much as it's flattening it, saying, okay, we've got this established sense of how sit-down VR works, and Here's other people making it cheaper or perhaps with sharper resolution screens. It's you know, at least they've standardized that controller to have, you know, things that are like Oculus Touch, the joysticks and the buttons.
Well, I think one thing that I really liked about Windows Mixed Reality when I played around with it, I think I took a system home for a week and messed around with it in my living room, was that idea that you don't need these kind of tracking cameras around. There's a little bit of a setup process where you put it on and you like walk around the boundaries of your room to kind of draw a virtualized map of the room you actually have. And then when you're within the experience, as you, and of course I was playing super hot because there for a while that was my obsession in VR. When you reach near those boundaries or you get close to them, you see this kind of outline of a wall that gets close to you. So you know that, oh no, on the other side of that wall is a lamp. I better not go there. You know, and you get that visual readout, and it didn't really require anything other than the headset itself and a little bit of pre-configuration time.
Right. So ultimately, we're in sit-down territory generally with PlayStation VR, with a little bit of standing. You have a little more leeway to get up and move around with your mixed reality and Oculus Touch. And then you've got full-on room scale with, in terms of walking around a predefined space most neatly and best tracked with the Vive. This is the best. If you want to be sure that your hands and head are perfectly tracked, this is the one. Because as cool as it is to have these front-facing sensors on the mixed reality, sometimes they don't see what's behind you and things like that.
Yeah.
And losing any of that immersion can break certain games just enough where it's like, I should have gotten the Vive or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I think we're going to take a break and thank the sponsor. And when we return to VR, we're going to talk about a little bit of the room kind of scaling capabilities and really tracking a room, because they all do have different ways that they do that. And so it's worth kind of demystifying it a little bit. But first, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How.
All right, this episode of Know How is brought to you by Avnet. How does a groundbreaking technology incubator debut its latest idea for solving life's absurdities, life's challenges, by leveraging an end-to-end ecosystem that turns ideas into marketable products? That's what it's all about. Not Impossible Labs had an idea for tech that could revolutionize live music. The team, in this example, wanted to bring the experience of a concert to a group who had traditionally found it inaccessible, the deaf community. No doubt live music is something the hearing able take for granted. I know I do. And it's such an incredible experience. It touches on all sorts of senses. A challenge lies in making concerts and live music events more inclusive for the deaf. That's no small feat. Well, with Avnet as a guide, their idea evolved to one of the most sophisticated wearables on the market. And it helped to bring a shared life concert experience called Music Not Impossible. The product allows deaf and hearing concert goers alike to literally feel live music through advanced vibration technology, and they get to experience it together and for the very first time. Those wearables send vibrations through the ankles, through the wrist, and to the chest. The hearing abled, you know, as you know, they receive music vibrations through the ears. Well, attendees who are deaf and wearing these wearables receive those vibrations through the rest of their body. That allowed many of them to actually respond to the live music alongside everyone else, to dance to the music alongside everyone else. For many, this was the first for them, the first time that they got the chance to do this, an innovation that literally opens up a whole new world of music exploration to those who might not hear it in the traditional sense. Now, Avnet and Not Impossible Labs revealed Music Not Impossible at the Life is Beautiful Music Festival in Las Vegas just last month, and it was a major hit. This kind of innovation was brought to the finish line because of Avnet. So you should check it out for yourself. Visit avnet.com/music2, and you can see the whole journey. They have it all listed out there. They have a bunch of videos that you can watch to really get an idea of the innovation that was put into Music Not Impossible and the lives that it affected and kind of what the potential is for that. That's avnet.com/music2 to check it out for yourself. And we hope that you do. And we thank Avnet for their support of this episode of Know How.
All right. So tracking the room or tracking your space in the room, which, I mean, when you're talking about immersion and these systems, they have very different requirements. If you even take a look at the table of stuff, you'll see that nothing really looks the same between them. What should we start off with first? Should we go in the same order?
I mean, before we even start playing with these, let's even talk about the idea of space in virtual reality.
Sure, okay.
The first time I ever played with an Oculus Rift was the duct-taped prototype that was brought to PAX 2012. They were trying to get funding for this thing.
Yeah. And that was before anyone really knew the name Palmer Luckey.
Facebook had yet to throw any money at him. So what that was it was a gamepad and a headset, and that was it. And it was very convincing at first, where I'd see a fireball behind me, and I could turn my head and go, oh, that fireball was there. And then I had to use a joystick. And I thought, there's something about that joystick stuff that didn't make me feel comfortable. And all in the conversation for the years that followed was about comfort level. How do we make VR more comfortable? Now, over time, that has gotten better to where you can sit down and there will be tricks that go on, whether you're in a cockpit of a ship and that gives you a sort of grounding sense, or you can move your head this little bit here and there. But the amount of space that you want really depends on what you really want to do in VR. Because there are things that are totally fun where you just sit down, and there are things that are really cool when you can stand up and walk around the room. Mm. I always talk about Tilt Brush because I just love that feeling of painting. And you can do that while sitting down. And you end up, it's almost like a bonsai tree where you're just, the world is kind of shrunken and you're pinching and zooming and doing things like that. But that still is a space requirement. That's more than just a controller here. You need to have this sort of zone. So in these cases, some form of tracking is necessary. I think it'd be really good to start with the Vive because it sort of set this into motion, the sense of you need a whole big room. Room scale is the thing.
Absolutely. And that's probably the most impressive when you really get a sense, get a taste of room scale VR. Like, it's a whole other world.
The fact that you can walk around and your steps correspond with another place is a real trip.
Very transformative.
But then you trip over the cord. So that's and we'll get into some of that. All of the HTC Vives have shipped with these tracking boxes. These are the newer versions of the tracking boxes, meaning they have a rounded edge as opposed to the square shape of earlier. These do a better job of fanning out all of the lasers. Now, when I say all of the lasers, that's a fun thing to say, but what I mean is the HTC Vive headset has all of these sensors in it that are looking for lasers. Mm-hmm. And it's the headset that says, oh, I've been interrupted every, 90th of a second. It's sensing exactly which lasers are hitting where from two sides of a room looking for anything. So no matter which way you're facing, one of the two sensors is definitely hitting your headset and definitely hitting those wands. Mm. Those things on your head and in your hands are then the ones managing the data. And that's different than other tracking systems. So as a result, with these two sensors that you have, by the way, if we look at the back, we have a few plugs. We have power and connectivity. There's different ways, but you don't really need all these. All you need is one power piece. That's it. You just have to have them powered on because otherwise they're actually dumb. You have maybe a setup phase, but otherwise they're not doing anything than just spitting lasers out. But they also come with 1, 2 tripod stands. These are important because you're going to want these somewhere in your room that is looking up and staying still. And because if you notice the shape, you may not necessarily have this perfectly placed on... I'll turn it this way for the camera. You may not have this perfectly placed in such a way where you have a shelf that's looking down this way. You may have a nice high-up point on a bookshelf. That can be a good place. If you have a stable bookshelf on one edge of a room, you just need to make sure that it can reach the power. Now, I can't tell you the exact meterage of this cord. It's pretty long. But you're going to need to have these guys powered wherever you put them in a room. Mm-hmm. So that's a consideration.
And each of them requires power.
Each of them requires power and just power, nothing else, no other connection to a computer, which is actually really helpful. Because when we talk about the Oculus Rift, that's a different kind of sensor. This is a webcam. What that means is the Oculus Rift headset is not managing the tracking. The webcam's doing everything. Yep. And that means it needs to talk to your computer. And therefore, wherever you connect this has to reach to your computer and reach with USB 3.0. That's, a pretty high speed demand. So you're going to need to make sure your computer has a bunch of USB 3.0 ports to spare. You might even need an extender. Make sure it's rated for 3.0 if you're extending, if you want to have more of these around a room. Because if you just want to sit down and have one camera look at you, that's fine. One camera will do if you're just sitting down and you can have the controllers in your hands. But if you want to have an experience that's more like Superhot, and by the way, for the uninitiated, Superhot is a game where everything only moves when you move. So as you move your arm, other stuff moves. But if you stay still, nothing moves.
Oh, man, I love the mechanics of that
and
game.
And so there's this sort of sense of, so if you want to dodge a bullet, staying still means you get to see where the bullet's going. Then once you move, the bullet will move in kind.
And if you move fast, then it'll move fast. If you move slow, you can figure and be calculated. It's so cool.
And the point being, that's a hard thing to do as a sit-down game.
Yeah.
So you want to have more of these sensors paying attention. Now, I do want to point out something for, if you're watching twit.tv, then you care about privacy and you care about data that is gathered. And these collect data, these collect information. They are doing infrared analysis and RGB analysis of your space.
Oh.
What is Facebook doing with that information? Their user agreement says they're being cool about it, but just know that when you are playing with an Oculus VR product, at least when it's got a webcam like this, that's Facebook taking your living room data and potentially doing something with
it. Wow, that's something you don't really hear very often.
So,
I'm not sure I heard that.
And that's an important consideration. You may, you know, turn them off when you're not using them. You know,
yeah.
I'm the kind of guy who has an EFF sticker on my webcam, on my laptop, that sort of thing. That's no small consideration. Speaking of webcams, PlayStation VR is a similar thing, although this is not as always on as the Oculus. This also, like Oculus, is looking at your headset and looking for specifically bright lights that are on the PlayStation VR headset. They're these big blue lights that pop up. And it's just looking for those with these two guys here. There's some lights on the back of the headset as well. So if you're not directly facing it, mm-hmm. it can still track your head. Your controller, the PlayStation DualShock 4, has a light sensor as well, as do the Move wands, as does that gun that I was talking about. Has a little color on the tip of it that shows kind of that relative positioning and things
right,
like that.
Right.
But because this is limited, because you can only use one of these cameras with PlayStation VR, that's it. So you're going to want to put this somewhere. Perhaps it'll hinge. If you look right here, it does have a nice hinging effect, so you can potentially place this on top of a TV in such a way that it stays stable. But it is definitely the most delicate. It doesn't have as robust of a stand
yeah.
as Oculus. It doesn't have this kind of tripod mounting that the Vive does.
And it's not multiple spread across, because one thing I remember about the PlayStation VR experience is there are ways where you can easily kind of like obstruct its view, even though you feel like you're in the zone.
Correct.
It's easy to move outside of that.
It is absolutely the system for sitting down and keeping your seat planted. A spinny
yeah.
chair is not great. And you can still have some really good experiences. That shooting game I was talking about, that Team Tactics one, I still really enjoy it. I'm still sensed very well. But every once in a while, oh, I disappeared. That's never really fun.
Right.
And the last thing, we just had this out. We already said this before, but if you're using a Windows Mixed Reality controller or headset, the controller has lights on it. The headset is looking for these lights. If the headset sees these lights, your hand can be seen. You're good to go. You can't really walk around, but you can wiggle around in a chair a little more comfortably. So long as this is in the view, as long as this is in the view of your headset, then you'll be totally fine. So this is definitely the best part about Windows Mixed Reality is, can these see each other? Can the head and the hand see each other? Great.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah. Okay. Your preference between all four of these as far as tracking, I mean, I'm assuming it's the HTC because of the room tracking.
It is demanding.
Right?
You have to have a room that can have things moved. I have a living room in which I put a really ugly rug on a table just so I can drag the table out. I have a TV that's on wheels just so I can push the TV back because it's my living room space. That's my most like walk around and game around kind of space.
Yeah, yeah.
That is no small thing to say, hey, FYI, my furniture has to be mobile. It's almost like saying, please put plastic on my couch. It's
yeah.
a little weird.
Yeah.
And I think it's still ultimately also this sort of tripoding thing is pretty bulky. I have mine bolted into my ceiling. I have them, you know, tripod mounts that are nailed in or screwed in my ceiling. Keeps them stable, keeps them at a good angle.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, these redesigned ones work better on a bookshelf so that they don't have to be mounted like the square ones used to be. So that's a nice bonus that you can essentially put these on a bookshelf and be in pretty good shape. But, you know, you want them on opposite sides of a decent-sized room. But, you know, there's something to be said about the simplicity of PlayStation VR, playing nicely with the game
yeah.
system, just looking right at you. There's some limitations, but you're just in a gaming world. You're in a gaming ecosystem. It just works in your sit-down space. So,
do you think Sony's going to continue to... I mean, I guess it's just reading the tea leaves. It's hard to know for sure. But has Sony been happy enough with their experiment of PlayStation VR from what you've heard?
From what I've heard, the company's talked in stock reports on its Japanese side and said that the products are selling at the scale they want. It's just not as many... There aren't as many PlayStation VR units as there are PlayStation 4s.
Sure.
That's a lot of PlayStation 4s, so yeah. That's not very surprising.
Right.
I'm just not sure whether companies like these who are here, what their future plans are, which I think we're going to get into, but I do see PlayStation 4 VR support at least continuing until the end of the PS4's era. We don't know how long that is, if that's going to be a new one in 2019 or 2020, but for now, there's a lot. There are a lot of VR games on all of these platforms. If you buy any of these, you will have stuff to play that's good.
You'll have plenty. All right. And maybe you don't buy these. Maybe you just use some of these more stripped down kind of mobile versions of VR. And that's what we're going to talk about next. We want to thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How.
All right. This episode of Know How is brought to you by DigitalOcean. DigitalOcean provides the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications with droplets, virtual machines that are scalable compute platform with add-on storage, security, and monitoring capabilities. And you can choose from standard or CPU-optimized droplets and customize from there. DigitalOcean is designed for developers. So listen up, developers. The easy-to-use control panel and API actually lets developers spend more time coding, which is what you really want to do, and less time managing their infrastructure. Industry-leading price to performance. You can access the compute resources you need at the lowest rates, saving up to 55% compared to other cloud providers. And you'll always know what you're going to pay per month because there's a flat pricing structure across all data center regions. So you know right up front what you're going to be paying out of pocket for. Included at no additional cost, 99.99% uptime, SLA, cloud firewalls, monitoring and alerting, full DNS management, global data centers, enterprise SSDs, and an easy-to-use API to make the developers even happier. Over 150,000 businesses, including some of the world's fastest-growing startups, rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. You can sign up today and check it out for yourself, and you'll receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. That's do.co/twit. for a free $100 credit, and we thank DigitalOcean for their support of this episode of Know How.
Okay, so I don't, Sam, have your buckets of money for virtual reality high-end systems, okay? I just have the phone in my pocket, and I want a viewer to throw that phone into. What do you think about this kind of area of VR?
Sometimes taking an existing phone and slapping it into a case can be good.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I would say no. Now, we begin the segment talking about some of the lower-end VR, and you had mentioned things like cardboard.
Yeah.
Which was...
Oh, I forgot to get a cardboard viewer.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because I am staunchly against cardboard VR. Say no to it. Now, you think about your smartphone, which has a lot of really useful sensors in terms of relative motion, so that you can kind of simulate that VR effect of as I move my head, an image on the screen moves. Oh, wow, I'm really in this other place. However, a lot of phones that are not optimized for this will have refresh rates that do not draw pixels in the right way, and that can actually really be painful to look at. And I mean, I feel very strongly, and I think a lot of people may disagree and say it's totally fine, but having a phone whose display is optimized for that kind of pixel refresh, and you're getting that in more 2017 and 2018 phones by default, just because those kinds of displays are cheaper and are totally fine. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way to go, which fortunately, a couple of these have support for those kind of refreshes on phone displays and have other things that are built in and add additional features that make them solid as kind of first baby steps into solid, cheap VR.
Okay. All right, so what we have kind of displayed on the table, we have omitted the cardboard viewer because some people Don't want it here.
I'm a VR hipster. It's true.
I get it. But we've got three different kind of viewers that are out there to represent a few different points. There's one missing from here, but I'll talk about that when we get there. The Daydream View, of course. This is Google's version of the VR viewer for its Daydream devices inside. You've got the controller. We've got the Samsung Gear VR. I can't remember if this is the most recent version of it, but regardless, they're all pretty much the same for the most part, except the newer ones support newer devices. And then the Oculus Go. So where should we begin on this?
Well, we'll start with the Gear VR. This was, I think, a lot of people's first impression of significant phone plug-in VR was this. By the way, get the camera on me just to see how creepy this looks. Because when you don't have the phone in it, it has this terrifying effect on it. But, you know, what it has built in is hardware support because it actually plugs into something. It's got a little hardware plug so that you can use a side controller of some sort in order to press in different directions and hit OK. The newest of the Gear VR, I believe, has some additional sensing and motion support. Now, ultimately, the phone is still doing all the work. It's still doing all the processing. It's still draining all the battery. And it's not adding a ton extra here. But it's a solid form factor. The phones that are designed for it work. The catch, of course, is that you've got to be inside of that Samsung ecosystem.
Yeah.
And the Gear VR you get has to be compatible with the phone you buy. And I think it was a perfectly solid thing to throw into a bundle if you bought a new phone from Samsung and they were tossing these in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not doing that as much anymore. Samsung has backed off on this giveaway. But you can probably find one for pretty cheap if you're already in a Samsung ecosystem. And they're fire sailing some of them. Going with the older of the Gear VRs isn't going to set you back,
which is why. Yeah, this is actually the older version. Yeah. I do have the newer version somewhere. And the newer version does include a controller that's similar to the controller that you see here for the Oculus, Oculus Go. But yeah, so they've kind of added that aspect of it, and which is an important aspect for mobile VR.
And if we go over here, we've got another crazy looking eyeball thingy when we come with the Daydream, the Google's Daydream. This again is going to require that you get a specific phone that works with the with Google's rig. Mm-hmm. There's, I believe, a little bit more compatibility. I can't tell you exactly which third parties are involved with that.
Yeah, they have mandatory spec minimums. Basically, a phone has to be Daydream certified in order for it to work.
Right.
And
that means that you're getting that specific kind of pixel refresh and certain kind of sensing capabilities. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, what we end up with these two and with the Oculus Go is a reduction in movement. Now, this is called 3 degrees of freedom, 3DOF, as opposed to something like the HTC Vive, which is 6 degrees of freedom, meaning when I put this on, look at how cool I look with the Oculus Go, it only inside of the app recognizes me if I'm doing this kind of rotation and this kind of looking, this sort of spherical motion.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I step, this doesn't recognize
right.
that, and it stays sort of static. So it's definitely designed for sit-down or lay-down VR. I hope I'm getting the raccoon eyes from VR already. Now, what's really interesting about Oculus Go is it's not one-upping the kind of apps and games that you're going to get from these guys.
Sure.
Instead, what it's doing is it's saying, only $200, and you've got a phone that's pre-baked into the headset.
Yes.
It's a comfortable fit with all this. I mean, these are all relatively comfortable, but I would say this is the most comfortable of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with a single-hand controller. So you're getting everything for basically not that much more than you would be paying for one of these shells.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get a phone. It's got that baked in. It's designed with the kind with similar, not flagship phone specs, but reasonable phone specs.
Yeah.
And it'll run a bunch of really good games and media apps. Now, let me say, I could not believe how much I enjoyed my time with Oculus Go. It was certainly a little heavy. It's not, you know, for $200, there are certain penalties here. There's a little bit of weight that bears down. At first, it feels fine, but you can feel a little bit on the cheeks right here.
Yep.
And you can adjust these straps accordingly, but this is not the highest end. But what I found was, and I like talking with these things on, is that I would lay down in bed, turn on Netflix, and then I could use this hand controller. Now, when you start a Netflix app in any of these, the screen just appears like ahead of you. But you can use this, grab the screen, put it above you. And then I lay down, and it's a whole black backdrop with whatever show I want to binge, and I'm just laying in bed enjoying like a binge of a really old cartoon that I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I hooked up Plex, which is also on the App Store. By the way, Gear VR and Oculus Go have very similar app stores. They use mm-hmm. similar requirements. The controllers.
Well, Oculus. I mean, Gear VR is powered by Oculus, yeah. So they've
got similar. And so the Plex app that works for both of those also is compatible with like moving the display around. The games on it are kind of dinky. They're not as good as these full-on PlayStation VR and Vive and Oculus Rift kind of games. But right. you can get some solid, simple games. One of my favorites is Keep Talking. Keep talking and nobody explodes.
Nobody explodes.
Which is a two-player experience where the person in the headset sees a bunch of stuff, and the person outside of the headset, as a two-player game, is cooperating by reading a manual and saying, "Hey, person in headset, what's on this bomb?" And the guy says that back, and the girl says, they're talking back and forth, seeing mm-hmm. completely different things, trying to solve something. You don't need a lot of juice. You just need a VR trick, and that offers it. So you have that sort of option. So in terms of power and battery dissipation and all these little intangibles, Oculus Go for right now in late 2018 is a solid option.
$199, so it's not really that expensive. And I will say, I've used a lot of the mobile VR, and which requires your phone. There's something to be said, man, for a headset that's all self-contained, that has the computer in it. I realize it's not the end of the world to drop a phone into a viewer and get going, but just having this always charging or always charged, and when you want it, like, there's no resistance. Just pick it up, put it on, and go.
And there's a thing I forgot to mention, is that because it's not depending on a phone, because they can move the parts around, the battery is set off in such a way for more even heat dissipation.
Oh, okay.
Which is aided by this flat front. Now, here's another
fun... So you don't get hot face as much?
Correct. Here's another fun trick. Notice right here, this flat face. Watch. When I'm done, I can put it down.
Yeah.
There's no wobble.
Yeah.
All these others have some sort of curve or weird thing. This is the only VR set on the market in the United States
that has
a flat front
that
lets you just set it down. And this cloth cover pretty much covers up the lenses. Yeah. Don't expose the lenses to light ever. That's my hot tip. Don't ever just like leave it out in such a way that gets sunlight. That will damage those lenses. But it's just a neat little trick. It doesn't hold that much charge. You're going to need to recharge it after about 4 hours, mm-hmm. give or take. If you're playing a game, it'll go faster.
Sure.
But it'll operate when it's plugged in. So if you don't mind that stupid, it's wireless. These are all wireless, which is the other nice thing. And so if you need to be wired in a pinch while you're laying in bed, just get a long wire. Otherwise, just be ready to charge it overnight. But
now, there is one that we did not talk about. And this is one that I reviewed a couple of months ago. It's basically an extension of Daydream by Lenovo, called the Lenovo Mirage Solo. Did you ever get a chance to mess around with this one?
I did. I did get to play with that earlier this year. And it's interesting because the screen refresh is not quite as crisp as this. This is, by the way, a really nice screen on the Oculus Go. So the Lenovo has a slightly blurrier refresh, but it offers 6 degrees of freedom. Again,
right.
Which
World
means
sense, as
yeah, you can it. Actually move your head around and the app will recognize that
yep.
in kind. The problem I found as of earlier this year, not a ton of apps for that kind of weak device, wireless device, that really understood that sensing.
Yep.
That may change. As we are filming this, there is an Oculus event brewing, so we may already have news of some new Oculus device by the time this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So the future may very well be these completely wireless computer inside of the device self-contained things mm-hmm. that don't require all the wires, that are pretty solid. They're not going to be as good as a $2,000 computer with an HTC Vive. But that line is definitely smoothing out. I've gotten to play with one of Oculus's prototypes. It's known as Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, right.
I got to test that out a couple times over the past year. And it's a wireless thing that lets you walk all the way around a room, and it knows where you are, and you can actually like dodge and weave and wobble around. I did a thing where it was a slow motion scene, and I had to grab exploding robot parts out of the sky, and I had to walk all the way around the room in order to do so. And all wireless, all self-contained. Will it be cheap? Will it come out anytime soon? We don't know. And those questions may have already been answered by the time this airs, and that could be really exciting. But these are already out, and if they are, they could be even cheaper by this Christmas.
Yeah,
if that
probably
wave
be
stuff
sales.
Comes sooner. So
yeah.
I think wireless VR is an interesting thing. I think that this kind of thing answers my qualms with things like cardboard. I don't look at a device like this and say, ugh. I look at it and go, it's got limitations, but boy, it really does enough.
And in case you're wondering, the Lenovo Mirage Solo, like getting that extra kind of functionality, $399. So it's not inexpensive. Still, I mean, in the realm of mobile VR, I would say that's more expensive. But like you said, there's not a whole lot of support there. But one thing that's interesting, you're talking about Santa Cruz. HTC kind of has with the Vive, they have the mobile pack, right, to kind of break away the cables and make that a little bit easier. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, HTC has been advertising a wireless transmitter for some time. It got delayed a few weeks. Not sure exactly when it's coming out. It's supposed to come out this fall. Exactly how good it is at sending a signal from your computer to your headset wirelessly, and whether your own home's interference is going to actually get in the way of that being solid or not, is a big question. Because when you're in that high-end level, if certain things go jittery, if anything does not quite go frame rate-wise, you could feel sick.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that stuff. But it's nice to think that you could have something that's pretty much there that's totally wireless.
Yeah.
And just to make sure that people understand, when we were talking about that Lenovo standalone, remind me of the name?
Yep, the Mirage Solo.
The Lenovo Mirage Solo and Oculus Go, no phone required. So
right.
Just remember that with both of those. Some of these others are shells that require phones. Oculus Go does not. One other interesting thing, as someone who wears contacts, when I talk about wearing the Oculus Go in bed, you can pay, I want to say, about $60 to $80 to get lenses, pop them in and out, and get your own prescription lenses put into Oculus Go, and only Oculus Go, for now at least. That could change with other headsets coming around. I mean, that's pretty niche. But that's an option if you're, you know, got astigmatism like your friend Sam.
That is really cool. That's awesome that that you have the opportunity, the option to do that. Do you have those lenses?
I do.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You are the resident VR fanatic, and we appreciate all of your insight on all this stuff. I love talking about VR because I love, more than anything, I love the promise of VR and the direction that it's headed. I'm not quite sure that it's exactly where I want it to be, but I know, I have no question that it's going to get there at some point. And I think Sam might actually have designs. Wow, that is a pose. Okay, well, you go ahead and strike that pose. I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody about next week's episode. We're going to talk all about gaming accessories. We've talked about VR accessories today. Next week, we're going to dive into accessories like controllers, the different types of controllers you can get for your consoles, headsets, and why they're important, and a couple of good selections to take a look at, a whole lot more, just really kind of to help you up your game, as it were. Links, show notes, past episodes, subscribe links, all that stuff can be found at twit.tv/KH. Maybe you'll even see Sam dancing around with four VR headsets mounted to his forehead there. New episodes appearing every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Know How can be found on Google Plus. If you go over to Google Plus and you go into their community section, do a search for Twit Know How, and you're going to find nearly 12,000 other Know How fans all talking about content from this show. So maybe it's gaming, maybe it's makery stuff, maybe it's Internet of Things. It's all there. Everybody pitching in and helping each other out. It's pretty awesome stuff. So check it out. As for the Twitter, Sam is
at SamRed.
And also Ars Technica for writing, because that's really what Sam does as his day job. He doesn't spend all day on Twitter, though he kind of does.
I type like a Muppet.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jason Howell. And then, of course, Josh, you're on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
No, Twitter. I think he went on to Foursquare.
Oh, okay. Or is it Snapchat?
No. I really think, like, I've had my Facebook for a while. I got to use it. Like, I should really... I should push my Facebook.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So where can you be found on Facebook?
Okay. So you're going to have to write this one down because it's a lot different than the other ones.
Yep.
But it's The Mac and Josh.
The Mac and Josh?
Yeah, The Mac and Josh.
The is important in
Hold
this
on.
Case, right?
Let me get my pen.
It's just
yeah.
one the.
You write that down.
So
I'll
yeah, you might
email
have
it to me.
Take That'd that down.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sent.
Okay. All right, good. Well, let's blow up Josh's Facebook account. Or, you know.
Just follow me on there, yeah.
Yeah, just follow him over there. Until next week, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks, everyone. And now that you know how, go ahead and throw on a VR headset and get the game. We'll see you next week.